Blog Talk Radio.
Watch. Shit I do for a living, nigga. Shit I eat for a living, nigga. Shit I live for a living, nigga. Watch. Okay. Shooters. Watch. Things just ain't the same for gangsters. But I'm a little too famous to shoot these pranksters. Holding these rap singers, claiming they bangers. Doing all sorts of twisted shit with they fingers. Disrespecting the game, no home training the manners. I was doing this shit when you was shitting.
Okay, okay, Jay. I had to come on that hard. I had to come on that hard for the hard work going on, man, and the NBA draft going down. Sport City, the cookout is underway. The grill is lit. I'm feeling some type of way. I can't wait to see how some stuff goes down. But I got my co-host in the building with me the evening. Barry, a.k.a. the villain, Jordan, is here. How are you feeling for the evening?
Who's the hero? Who's the villain? The question remains chilling. What's up? I'm feeling good right now. You know, I'm in a happy mood today. A happy villain is on the show today.
Oh, see, he said who's the hero and who's the villain, and his nickname is the villain. Now he wanted to play the hero. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And see, if it wasn't for me saying what I said on the last show, he wouldn't be as happy as he is right now, Sports City. But it's okay because I got something cooked up nice and warm ready for him, and we're going to put it right on the grill. Don't you worry. I also got Eric in the building. Eric calling out of the state of Colorado. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling great, Ty. I'm ready to eat. Let's get this kitchen going.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that's going on, especially with the NBA draft. I kind of want to save, like, a good portion of the NBA draft with a lot of the moves that went down in the NBA. And one of the situations, I'm kind of, you know, at the edge of my seat, frustrated, but I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. But first and foremost, since Barry came in here, you know, trying to tout his chest out, I do want to ask him a certain little question because it's the cookout, so we could go any little different direction that we want to. Breaking news of his New York Mets and his former friendly friend, Robinson Cano, banned for the season upcoming of PED use. And this is ongoing from all of the Yankees that have been up there pumping stuff up under their skin. And now we got Robinson Cano again with some bull crap. I'm not going to lie. I do like Robinson Cano as a player, but this is happening far too often. And he's older now. So it's like, I wonder which way he goes. And knowing that Barry's a resident Mets fan, I did want to throw that one around the kitchen, get your thoughts. But, Eric, I'll let you set that one off first, and I'll come to Barry second. Your thoughts on Robinson Cano being
so
banned for the entire season.
You call me out, and then you skip me?
I wanted to say the best for last, but okay, well, then I'll come right to you, Barry. Okay, so since you want that dish so bad, your thoughts on Robinson Cano with this incident, or I don't even know if I could call this an incident, occurrence.
Exactly. Listen, I got to hit him with the Pulp Fiction. Allow me to retort. I mean, you just going to call me out. And you just going to go right past me? You going to pass a plate right past me? Nah, listen. First of all, I am not a Mets fan. Watch your mouth. All right? You tried to slip it in
you
there twice like
fan.
The villain
you
wasn't going to find
fan.
It.
You
watch
you
your mouth. Watch your mouth.
You are a
watch
Mets
your
fan.
Mouth.
You
I, am a
Mets
I am a Yankee fan. I am a Met empathizer. Rest in peace to my grandfather, my dad, who I love dearly. A Met fan. So watch your mouth. All right? Watch your mouth. First of all, listen. I'm not surprised. I mean, he was caught before. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, he had the suspension in Seattle for this. And, you know, you're right. He's getting older, so he probably thought he can get over and get some kind of, you know, always they always say like the drugs are ahead of the testing with the PEDs. So it takes a while for them to get caught. So we don't know how long he was doing this, but, I mean, he has been doing it. You know, he was teammates with A-Rod. A-Rod got caught. And admitted it to a couple of times, so I'm not surprised at all. It's unfortunate. I like Robbie. You know, I think he could have been one of the best second basemen to ever play. I always argued Robbie Cano ahead of Dustin Pedroia. And, I mean, now you can see maybe, you know, Dustin Pedroia squeezed every ounce of ability out of that little frame to get where he got and never really cheated the game. You know, Robbie Cano, you know, probably got ahead of him because maybe he was using stuff. We don't know. And it's fair for us to say maybe he was using it because he's gotten caught twice. So, you know, his whole career is tainted. This guy was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, it's, you don't know. You can't put him in. I mean, I think they all should go in, but I mean, you definitely question, you know, the numbers that he put up because of this incident now for a second time suspended for the whole season. I mean, if anything, the Mets are free of $20 million that they can use to spend on a player like, Lindor or George Springer or somebody. But, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you know what? You got caught. You knew what you were doing was wrong, and you know, you gotta live with it. You got to deal with it.
Look at him. He's stuttering, man. I ain't even think a villain could stutter, man. I thought they speak clear, concise.
You see,
straight to the point.
He's
beating around the bush. You don't even know what to say. And now he's pushing the Mets off to the side and trying to push it off to the elder Jordan family, man. I don't even like or appreciate this. But the fact of the matter is with Robinson Cano, you know, Robinson Cano, like I said, he's a good hitter. He's a damager at the plate for a left-handed hitter. He can hit both pitches, whether it's left or right-handed pitchers. But he has – I don't really want to say a decline, but once he left the Yankees, he hasn't been himself. And with the situation happening in Washington and now happening in Flushing, New York, I wonder which way America or the league looks at him. You know, like, will he still have the same respect? Like, a lot of the names that went, you know, before him that were great batters, so on and so forth, and ended up getting caught up in whether it was a test or the Magnum, report, things of that nature. But, I respect Robinson Cano at the plate and in the field. I can't take too much away from him, especially when him and Jeter were doing their thing. But right now, with this happening again, I don't know how we look at this, man. And it's almost to the point where I feel like robbed, like how, you know, A-Rod was saying that he wasn't doing it, and next thing you know, he comes up in the report and kind of admits to doing it. So it's like, this is – I hate to do this, Sports City. I really do. But this is the bad part about baseball. This is why baseball is so tainted. Like mm-hmm. you can't take too much away from it for decades and decades. And I'm going to be honest, like, well, all three of us here are – 80s babies, you know what I'm saying? So we were in the era where, you know, this drug stuff was big with Jose and Mark and all of the guys that were in that era. Now it's like they're testing for it, and it's like, who are they catching? Who are they not? Who's slipping through the cracks? So on and so forth. But when you got a guy that's a multiple offender, it's like, well, what are they going to do with him? It's just this season. So if he does it again, then they ban him forever. Like, it's an unfortunate situation. But Eric, your thoughts on Robinson Cano? Him getting caught up in his PED, I don't even want to call it a scandal, but, I mean, your thoughts on Robinson Cano moving forward also?
It's not surprising just because of the fact, you got to remember, you know, these players are getting up there in age, and this is a sport where you got to keep up, you know what I mean? Your body starts to decline as you get older. It's just a natural process, and these players try to take the HGH and steroids to, you know, stay relevant. But with that being said, you know, you can't take away how great these players are. I mean, HGH and steroids doesn't make you hit the ball. You know what I mean? It increases the power, but these guys are, you know, superstars with or without it. You know, you take Barry Bonds, McGuire, and Roger Clemens that are getting persecuted, not making it to the Hall of Fame. And in my eyes, Barry Bonds is arguably the greatest baseball player to play the game, hitter. I mean, you got Mike Trout now, but still, people would just walk Barry Bonds. He would get up to the plate, and they're walking him. It doesn't matter if it's nobody on base or bases loaded. They're walking this guy because this guy's such a great hitter. And steroids doesn't make you a better baseball player. They were already blessed with this talent. Barry Bonds was 2-time MVP before he even went to San Francisco. So, you know, it's unfortunate that these players get judged for it, because Robinson Cano, just like the villain mentioned, is, could have been best second baseman, one of the best to play the game, but he has been declining since he left the Yankees. So, you know, it's kind of disheartening to hear about that, but at the same time, it was not surprising, because there's a lot more players than not that we don't know about that are doing this. So that's my take on it.
Do you believe – I'm going to set this kitchen on fire while we're outside of the cookout. Do you believe that is a discussion that Robinson Cano is one of the best, or if not the best, second baseman all time? I mean, but despite, and I'm actually being, you know, I'm helping him, despite the allegations or however we look at it, or occurrence, however I've been saying it, despite that situation, like, yeah, and then Barry threw out Dustin Pedroia. Like, I like Dustin Pedroia at the second baseman position. Like, is this a Robinson Cano, Dustin Pedroia, other, like, people from yesteryear, or the run of the Yankees, like back in the earlier times? Like, I don't know. That's a great discussion.
Is that for me, TP?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I mean, listen, like Eric is. I think Robbie is easily in top five. You know, I look at, you know, the late great Joe Morgan, rest in peace, who just passed away. Guy like I grew up watching that I thought was probably one of the best, and Robbie Alomar. You know, we saw him in Toronto and Baltimore a lot here, so I respected his game. You know, Jackie Robinson, you know, who Robbie was named after, great, one of the greatest players, you know, of his era, definitely of all time, you know, did a lot to break the color barrier and everything. So, you know, but after that, the list kind of gets short. You know, who do you put in there? Maybe you have Pedroia. Maybe you have, like, I don't know, Craig Biggio or Ryan Sandberg or some guys, but the list kind of, you know, shortens after that. So, I mean, yeah,
Carew, you better watch him out. But listen, this is a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, I mean,
listen, you know, you do know who Rod Carew played for, right?
We're not doing this right now, okay?
I'm just asking questions. You can answer it, but you're getting help from Eric. You need help all the time in his kitchen. This is the problem.
Oh, you know, and don't slap the fork out of my hand. I don't tell you how to eat. You know what I mean?
So you said the list gets shorter. You got Steve Sachs. You got Howie Kendrick.
Who?
You don't remember Steve Sachs?
I remember him, but is he an all-time great?
You guys are forgetting a very underrated player here. You know, I'm going to throw this out. He's definitely in my top five as Lou Whitaker. You know, he 21 seasons, this guy was consistent with his hitting and just an amazing defender. So you got to throw Lou Whitaker in there, too.
I mean,
you got Altuve, Ryan Robinson, his career's not even over yet, Altuve, Jackie Robinson, Joe Morgan, those would round out my top three for sure.
So you got Joe Morgan, Rod Carew, and who else?
And Jackie Robinson.
So Robinson can only make the cut.
Roberto Alomar would be number four. And then you could start talking about the other players.
Okay, Ryan Sandberg or Robinson Cano.
Yep.
I'd probably put Cano, but I mean it's very close. I think
really?
Ryan
is
Sandberg.
Whoa. I mean, yeah, defensively, probably right. I mean, yeah, that's a toss-up because Cano in his heyday put up way better numbers offensively. Sandberg was a great defender. So, I mean, that's kind of hard because Cano's a great defender,
but
too.
Cano was sitting in the middle of the bomb squad. Like, you got to think about that, too, now.
You didn't take Babe Ruth out of the Hall of Fame because he had Lou Gehrig hitting behind him. I mean, come on. We got to be fair here now. Come on.
Ryan Sandberg from start to finish was a consistent all-star. Like we just talked about, Robinson Cano has tapered off. He hasn't made the all-star game in how many years? So, you know what I mean? That's what we got to look out here. Ryan Sandberg was consistent.
Uh-oh. There we go. That's what the grill is for. This is what I'm talking about. Wasn't even grill is here. Okay. I wanted to get that one out of the way. I want to get another quick topic out of here. Fortunately or unfortunately, like, it's a rival of mine, and I don't like to see stuff happen to people in this form, but I feel a certain type of way. today, Klay Thompson goes down with a leg injury that may require surgery, and this is him missing all of last season with a torn ligament in his left leg. He tore his ACL 2 years ago up against the Raptors in the NBA Finals. He was in a workout today and I don't know if it's a tear, but he injured his other leg, which being that's his right leg, right? Yeah, his right leg got injured today, and they think it may require surgery. Now, this is the bad part about it because him and Steph were out both for basically a good portion or if not all of the season. Klay missed the entire season. Steph went down like after the sixth game, came back for like the last 10, and then the COVID situation came, and they said Golden State didn't even need to come to the bubble, how bad their record was. So this is, to me, yeah, I have to say it like this. This is another setback for the Warriors. I try to hide it, but I can't. This is another setback for the Warriors. And how do they look with the new piece that they have coming into the draft that I kind of want to jump into with the seven-footer and with Draymond coming back and Steph Curry? This is a setback to me with Klay going down, and I want to hear more about this. But your guys' thoughts, and I'll start with you first on this one, Barry. I'll come right back to you. Your thoughts on Klay Thompson going down with another injury, and they want to see the severity of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how bad the injury was. You know, you're right. It was the other leg. They're saying it's a lower leg injury, so it could be an ankle. We don't know. You know, we're just not getting a lot of details. I mean, it just happened, and, you know, they're just not going to release the details. I mean, I hope everything's okay. Klay's a good guy. He's an excellent player. When he's healthy and Curry is healthy, it's a threat. At the very least, a threat in the West. Like, they will give the Lakers a run for their money and beat them. I thought when I heard the injury that it might alter their draft plans a little bit, but it looks like they're going to stay the course with drafting Wiseman, but I thought they might, you know, change their minds and get another guard. But, you know, hopefully, you know, I would think, you know, he'll be out for a couple months and he'll probably be ready probably in February, maybe March, and, you know, hopefully they can kind of, you know, stay the course, get 500, get him back, and get over 500, you know, and make their push. As long as he's ready, if they're in the playoff push, and he is ready to go by then, this is a dangerous team that you don't want to play. So hopefully everything works out.
But they need him for a playoff push. You know the Warriors do not have bench at all. That bench is
absolutely gone.
I don't even want to say depleted. Like, that bench is gone. Or every last one of the important pieces that they had 2 years ago when they made the run with KD, and KD tore his Achilles, and then you got an ACL tear by Klay. Like, their bench is still there with Sean Livingston and all of those guys. They're gone now. It literally is right back into the lap of Steph Curry trying to carry this team. And does he, you know, chill out and sit out and wait for these guys to get back in full strength? That is something to wait and see. Eric, your thoughts on Klay Thompson injuring his other leg after trying to rehab and get back in the game shape of, you know, after tearing his ACL 2 years ago against the Raptors in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, this is definitely a devastating blow. You know, it was going to be interesting to see how, you know, the West is so tough, got so many good teams right now with the Warriors being healthy and being thrown right back into that mix. You know, it's hard to say. I'd like to see some more details because this is potentially Klay Thompson out for a second season. You know, I don't know if he'd be playoff ready coming out from that Achilles and then now this. So, you know, there's a lot of questions. And like you just said, Ty, besides Wiggins and maybe Bell, I mean, this team needs to get more pieces in play to be a contender in the West. It's just, well, I mean, you know, you got the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers as the top dogs in that division. So, you know what I mean? And they can't compete with them. So it's going to be interesting to see once we get more information here and find out if Klay does have a chance to play this season. Because we all know they're starting back in December, and that's not a lot of time off they've had to rest. So we're going to have to see how it plays out.
Only what? 12 and 22, 34 days away from the start of the NBA season. I wish it would have started sooner because it's in the month of December. I have calling out of the the 412, the 703, the 571, the 123, the 456. I have Aaron in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, I mean, at least you got one of my error codes. Actually, two of my error codes correct, you know what I'm saying? So,
he can't even count, man. This is terrible. He can't even count.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody in the building, listening, man. Villain, I hear you out there, man. What's up, my dude? Hope you're doing well. I did want to pick your brain about what the mix is there. But your boy's in the building, man. What's up?
Okay, so I know you hear what's going on in the kitchen right now, especially in the Western Conference, with Klay Thompson suffering an injury today, basically in a rehab situation. Your thoughts on Klay before we get away from this topic?
You know, man, it's very unfortunate that Klay got himself hurt. You know, you never want to see a man who has battled what he has battled and be on the cusp of returning to a season, re-injure himself as of right now. Now, again, I'm in the middle of doing different things, so I was able to get to a new source. But as of right now, I don't know the severity of said injury, but, you know, prayers up for Klay Thompson. I hope he's able to have a speedy recovery. The Golden State Warriors were a team that several people picked to do significant damage in the Western Conference and kind of return to that championship pedigree, especially with the acquisition of the number two pick and Wiseman. So I'm just going to see what happens, man. But, you know, prayers up for Klay Thompson is unfortunate.
Yeah, and to reiterate what Sierra said, I mimic exactly what he said. I don't want to see him outdo the injury. I want to see him beat like off the floor, like being able to stop him from getting that no dribble shot off, or making sure he don't go crazy with 37 points in a quarter. This is the type of player that we're missing. Like, I still remember that game where he went off for 37 points in one quarter. It was like he was unconscious. And this is a situation where we may even see him slowed, or, you know, not to the same caliber of type of player. And we got to just cherish what we were able to see at that point in time. And the mystique of that, how do I say it, the legacy or the dynasty that they had, because they made so many finals in a row. Well, I think it was five in a row that they made, you know. So I don't think we will see that again, but it's unfortunate to see Klay Thompson go down like that. Again, I wish him the best and a speedy recovery, but I'd rather see him getting beat off the floor than injured. That's the same way I felt about Kobe Bryant when Kobe's career came to a halt. You know, it was his Achilles, his shoulder. It was so much stuff happening to Kobe. And it was like Kobe was always a rival of mine in the West, but it was like watching him just break down, you know, bit by bit, body part by body part. It was like I didn't want to see Kobe go out like that. So I feel the same way.
Absolutely.
Sentiment for Klay Thompson in the Western Conference. So hopefully there's no significant damage, but we'll wait and see how this does pan out. So before I get into the next topic, Barry, is everything all right? Your name is Barry,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought you called me the villain. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. What? You want to hold my hand?
So, Barry, are you okay? Are you okay, Barry? the crazy part, right? So I feel some type of way for City, because I sat right here in this doggone show 7 days a week ago, and I said that the Giants will beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I said it right here, right on this show, right there last week, and that joint happened. And it was something that, okay, I just felt awkward about the matchup. Like, it was like me and, like, my analytical mind, there's no way I would have picked the Giants to win that game. But something felt so awkward about that. And the Giants win this game. They get their third win on the season. They're tied. Even though the Eagles sit at the top of the division because of games played, and then the tiebreaker is because of the tie that they had. But
as of today,
this is why I'm asking Barry, is he okay? Mark Colombo, the offensive line coach, gets into a fist fight with Joe Judge, the head coach of the New York Giants. You got it.
Alternative facts. Don't report that. That's alternative facts.
Okay. Well, something happened for him to get fired on the spot. On the spot, they fired him. No time wasted. Something crazy. That was a curse word because it's football. You're going to get cursed at. Something happened. Okay. But that's neither here nor there. I do have Nas in the building. Nas, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
What up, Nas?
Hey, I'm cool, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just see you chimed in. Anything you want to say about Klay Thompson before we get away from it? Because I got a little rant right now. Old Sirius one, too. Sirius got a little rant to get off, too. But anything that you want to address toward Klay Thompson, I didn't see you there.
I mean, you know, same as everybody else. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. You want to see teams lose on the court. But ultimately, this becomes another part of the mythical Golden State excuse-making. I think they're going to start up the excuse-making machine already because the dynasty is over, baby. It's been over. Healthy Klay, non-healthy Klay, it's a wrap.
And the reason why I brought that up, I was throwing that in front of Barry, too. I was like, well, they don't have any bullets in the chamber. It's literally a six-shooter, and that's it. They got to run for shelter if Klay and Steph ain't on their stuff. So I feel bad in saying that dynasty is over. I wanted to see people knock them off and, you know, see them weak. But now it's like they don't have anything behind them, either if they were healthy or not. And then this, and I hate to be brutal, Sports City, but this is where I want to see if Steve Kerr is that coach of the year that you guys have been claiming that he is, because all he had was a bunch of guns around him. That's all he had. He has about a gun and a half now. I want to see what type of coaching job he can do in the Western Conference now. I want to see what you're up to. That's what I do want to see.
Yeah, but okay. TV, real quick, though, it makes you appreciate – well, it makes us as fans not appreciate how hard it is to sustain a dynasty. You know, we're already talking about the window can be closed on Golden State, and that's still a good team. You know, it's hard to win in this league, and it's hard year after year to sustain excellence. And, you know, it's just a testament to, like, the teams that we grew up, like the Bulls and watching the Patriots and all these other teams consistently do it. So,
yep, playoff games and minutes matter. Playing from June to June matters. And it eventually eats your body up, man. And, you know, this is why there's so few dynasties, and this is why you celebrate them when they are able to pull it off. So, yeah, salute to them. But to that Steve Kerr mythology, never forget Ron Adams was basically the defensive coordinator, and Alvin Gentry was running the offense, and Steve Kerr was standing there like Larry Bird back in the day when Larry was the coach and Rick Carlisle was actually doing the coaching. So there's a lot with that Steve Kerr stuff, man.
Oh, believe me, I don't give Steve Kerr the credit. If you leave it to me, I still and I think a lot of people in the kitchen, you know, mimic the same sentiment. That's Mark Jackson's team. That is Mark Jackson's team in the Bay, and Kerr
exactly.
got all the credit for it.
Exactly.
He got all 100%. The credit for it. Just because he made a reference shoddy or some people, I get it, I understand it, and you know, they don't show that type of sentiment to people, and I understand that side of the spectrum as well, but now they're blackballing Mark Jackson, and Steve Kerr got all of that credit over that five-year span, and that was the way that Mark Jackson drafted that team to be put together. So now it's like, okay, so Steve Kerr, if you're getting all the
Mark
credit.
Mark blackballed himself, like, we got to say that, though. Mark blackballed himself.
well, no, he made a statement, you know, and I don't want to jump into what he said, but, you know with where he went and how they're doing the same thing that they did to Mark Jackson is the same way that they're treating Tim Hardaway right now. Tim Hardaway can't get a job or get into the damn Basketball Hall of Fame. Where I'm like, there's names in the Basketball Hall of Fame that I clearly would put Tim Hardaway in over, but Tim Hardaway isn't getting in because of statements that were made. So, but I don't even want to dig too much into that. I don't want to dig too much into that. I do want to talk about the proclamation I made on these doggone Giants. And the crazy part about the Giants is that these guys are – they are in cahoots to win the NFC East. Could you believe that? Could you believe that the Giants have a better record than the Dallas Cowboys? Can you believe that? And this is happening right now.
You should have beat them.
Should have, could have, would have. If you want to keep tap dancing that one, you can. You can sing that one. Go ahead. I'll let you do it. But, I mean,
you know what
it is,
TV, though? Like, we talked about it, and I said, you know, I think the Giants finally got a good coach. And Joe Judge, and I think, you know, week to week they've been playing better. They're a top, I think, one of the better defenses. They're definitely the best defense that we've had in probably 4 or 5 years. They're getting better week to week. I don't know why people keep throwing at Bradbury. I mean, that's one. I mean, the guy's playing at a all-pro level right now this year. But, you know, what happens is when Danny Jones, you're not going to call him Dimes. We're not going to call him Bitcoin.
You can call him
Loose Chain.
He's winning games.
He's on the roster as they win games.
Listen.
But you know what
And he redeemed himself. He redeemed himself with that scramble, too, that 80-yard fall. He scored a touchdown scrambling. Nobody cares about the scramble.
Who cares? Nobody cares. Like, honestly, the real meat and potatoes is when he doesn't turn the ball over, they win the game. They're 3-0 this year when he doesn't turn the ball over. That's the key. Nobody cares about running 80 yards and falling and stumbling. That's you know, crap for, you know, highlight reels and shit you see at halftime on the you know, bloopers crap. You know, nobody cares. Nobody cares about that. The fact of the matter is, when he doesn't turn the ball over, they win games. But what is the real problem, and I really want to hear from Naj, is how long do you stick with Carson Wentz? Because he looked god-awful. And I think I've heard around watching TV and listening to radio, you know, the problem on that team isn't just Carson Wentz. I mean, the penalties, they had so many penalties and mistakes. It was unbearable. The game plan after a bye against the Giants team was horrific. I mean, the zone read, how many times are the Giants going to zone read before you tell the defensive end, hey, don't crack down, you need to watch the quarterback. It was pathetic. So that's a coaching thing. I think the coaching needs to get cleaned up. But Carson Wentz throwing at people's feet, throwing over their head, throwing behind them. How much longer can this $100 million quarterback go before you say, you know what, this ain't working?
Yeah, that's the thing, though. With Carson, you've got to finish the season with him. You've got to know for sure if you're going to move off him just because you have so much money invested in him. And then it becomes a question of, okay, do we have the right coach? Was the assistant more important to the winning a few years back in that offense a few years back than Peterson is? Those are the questions that's going to come up. But Carson's going to get the rest of the season and then next year training camp. And at that point, you know, all bets are off. Then you start seeing, you know, the young boy getting in there or them thinking about drafting somebody. But with Daniel Jones and the Giants, though, just real quick, look, I didn't think Joe Judge was a good hire, but he's proven that he could do a good job with this particular roster. And by doing that, he's doing what? Shrinking the game. He's limiting possessions, slowing the game down, giving them the best chance to win with their when the talent improves, he'll be better. With Daniel Jones, my thing is this. If you got Daniel Jones, he should be playing in the offense similar to Lamar Jackson. Otherwise, why are you playing him? He's not efficient short. He's not efficient in intermediate. He doesn't have a big arm to beat you deep down the field, so don't play him in a traditional offense. That would be my one critique of Joe Judge. You're asking Daniel Jones to do something he's not good at. Like, he should be a running quarterback, if that's what you want to call it. That's what he should be doing. But, yeah, the Giants are in every game, and they're making it ugly. And, you know, that's all you can ask, man. Win with what you got. That's all you can ask of a coach.
Eric, your thoughts on the situation with these two coaches going at it, and it led to the offensive line coach getting fired today.
Yeah, well, hold on. The Giants have denied it. They said it wasn't a fight, but you can obviously tell that the guy that they wanted to hire, they brought him back to be a consultant over Colombo's back. He didn't like it. They had words, and he got fired. That's what they're saying. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, I said Eric. You did speak. Can Eric speak? And secondly, from me reading what it was, it says a nasty verbal confrontation. I also heard a physical altercation. I'm waiting to hear more about this. But this is a funny thing about coaches that do come from the lineage of the New England Patriots, that they always try to bring somebody that they're you know, used to. And this is something that I guess Mark Colombo took offense to because he was there and – you know, being able to do his job and then, you know, see the right just situation. And this is what happened. Eric, I hope I'm saying this correctly. Your thoughts on what went down today with the New York Giants?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate because Colombo was a heck of a player, offensive lineman. So, you've got to value his input as a coach would be pretty good. So I think that could be a blow to the Giants. We'll see as the weeks go on. But, there's no time for that. Communicate their differences. It doesn't have to, come to a full-blown fight. You know what I mean? And like you say, Ty, they're sugarcoating it. You know what I mean? There's a lot more to that story.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, a shout-out. I think me and you were the only one that were rolling with Big Blue this week. So, they won.
And the villain.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, No, you did not, Barry. Stop it.
Yeah.
Of course I picked the Giants.
This is terrible. I was on the air said it myself. Nobody else said this is terrible, man.
No, you know what it is, though, TP? Eric is absolutely right. There's more to the story that they're letting on. Here's what I saw, and this is what I read, okay? The fact is, Judge didn't want to hire Colombo. He wanted to hire the guy that he brought in as a consultant. I can't say his name. I don't want to butcher it right now. But that's the guy he wanted to hire. Garrett wanted Colombo. It was Garrett's quote-unquote offense. Garrett had the say. They brought him in. The guy that they brought in as a consultant over Colombo was the offensive line coach for 5 years under Tom Coughlin in New York. So there was a relationship there. So that's the problem. These guys were undermining him. They were undermining Colombo. He didn't want anybody looking over his shoulder. And it got heated today, and I don't know if there was a fist fight or not, but that's what we're seeing. There was a power struggle with who wanted to hire who.
Yeah,
because right. I'm not buying. Oh, this is a nasty verbal confrontation. Like coaches don't
mm-hmm.
curse at each other. Like I'm not buying.
Yeah, absolutely.
That. And his name is Dave DiGuglielmo. That is the guy that
replaced. You can pay me $100 to say that right. So.
That's $100 I keep. No problem. I'll keep it in my pocket. Don't you worry about that. But I did want to get that out of there and kind of attach it with the rant that I have for the Giants and me calling that win that it was like a Vegas call. I was like Vegas up to something, man. I just seen it in the line. It was like there's no way that Philly would be as close to the Giants. It was just too funny. It was too funny for me to call that. I don't know. We do have Sirius back in the building. Aaron, are you there? I don't know. Can you hear me, Aaron?
Can we get Sirius in? Because
had you guys on
there
mute.
He is.
Had you guys on mute.
I'm trying. What you talking? You yelling at me? He over there acting up. That's that 412, that 703, the 123, the 456. That's him.
I'm driving over a mountain. You know how this is. I'm driving over mountains. What's up?
Listen,
see, that's what happened. That's what happened when they
started
that movie Get Out.
And got in a, see, ever since Sirius and I had a fight on the show about Fitzmagic or Fitz Tragic and Tua,
and
3-0.
Yeah.
3-0. Where you at?
Yeah. Okay, I'm here. Believe me, I am here. I said some stuff about that on Sunday. I need you to go back and listen to the tape because I addressed that Sunday. With that being said, I stand by my initial statement. You know what I'm saying? Tua right now is being the game manager. You know what I'm saying? But I do give the Miami Dolphins credit. They have managed to win. I give them the credit. I mean, they are surprising the hell out of me.
So Tua is the game manager, or is he the quarterback of tomorrow? Wait, hold on. Is he a game manager, or is he
the
quarterback
of tomorrow?
TP.
He's the quarterback tomorrow, but he right now they're coaching him through. They're getting him through the season.
Exactly, my point exactly. So my thing is this: would the Miami Dolphins be 3-0 in that time frame with Fitzmagic under center? I believe so.
No.
So with that being said,
no way, no way, no way, no way, no way, no way.
Are you kidding
me?
No
way. No way.
This is the team that was rolling. This is the team that was rolling with Fitzmagic under center already. Let's be honest.
Do you think Fitzmagic would have beat the Rams? Do you think he would have beat the Rams?
So
no.
First and foremost, during that Rams game, 2-for-2 for 97 yards. That defense and that and the special
answer
team
the question.
Did that work?
Answer the question.
Yeah,
answer the question,
yeah, they would have beat the Rams. Yes, they would have beat the Rams.
Nah, nah, I don't think they would.
Exactly.
I think
so. Barry's won. Barry's won. I don't believe in Nas. Do you think if Fitzpatrick or Fitztragic would have won that game against the Rams?
Yeah, I mean it's hard to say. Like Sirius said, the defense dominated that game, got all those turnovers from your boy Goff. So it wasn't really a game where the offense had to do much. But overall, why the hell do y'all want old Fitzmagic in the game instead of the young rookie to see what you got?
Don't say y'all. Aaron said that. Say Aaron.
Ben Simmons.
Yes, I did.
Simmons
said that. And let me explain again. I don't understand why I got to do this, but here was my logic. At the time of the move, I did not agree with it. It was not the fact that I didn't like Tua. It wasn't the fact that I think Tua, you know, is not the future or this, that, and the third. But the Miami Dolphins were rolling, and they were in playoff position, contending for the division lead and this, that, and the third. I just thought there was a bad move to now put in a rookie. Hindsight being 2020, they're 3-0. But at the case at hand, we're talking about that Rams game. They got a block punt. They got a fumble recovery for a touchdown. They got a pick six. That's 21 points, and the man threw for under 100 yards. Yeah, one touchdown.
But you know what? Here's the point, Sirius. And I agree with you. You know, you should ride the hot hand. But at that point, when you draft a kid, where you draft him, it was number 5. You don't draft him to hold a clipboard behind a guy that you know isn't going to be the future of your team. So I saw it in New York. I said it on the show with Eli Manning. They were rolling. They were like 5-5 or 5-4, whatever, when they took Kurt Warner out for Eli Manning. They lost every game after it. So what? The next year they went to the playoffs. They won the division. A couple years later, they won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, listen, you got to see what you got out of the young kid. Now, fast forward from that, what I see is a guy that is finally a team that finally has a quarterback. That's what I see in Miami. And you know what? Miami's a hell of a team. They got a great coach in Flores, and even though they traded away every defensive player you could think of last year, they still got some damn good players on that defense with Xavier Howard and company. That's a good team. And you know what? The Bills and the Dolphins are going to be running that division for the next few years. Mark my words.
They are a very good squad. I mean, shout out to Brian Flores. I have the utmost respect for him and what he's done. But that to me was never in question. I always thought that the Miami Dolphins were on the come up. I mean, with the many first round draft picks that they had over the course of the years, you know what I'm saying? It was bound for them to start, you know, hitting and doing some things. That defense, again, you know, endorsement for me, my whole point was the fact that if you're going to draft a guy 5 overall and you want to see, quote-unquote, what you got, that man from the rip. That was my whole thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're going to ride and die with this guy and see what happens. Now, again, you know, he's 3-0 now. The team is rolling. They're 6-3. They got one of the easiest schedules coming up, you know, the next couple games. They're going to stock some, you know, some wins in the basket, so to speak, unless something unforeseen happens and they get themselves to a playoff. My whole point of the matter is they would have probably done the same thing, in my opinion, with Fitzmagic. And now you got Fitzmagic, you know, butthurt and upset, you know what I'm saying, on the sideline, and it is what it is. I mean, again, at the end of the day, it's a business. I understand it. At the end of the day, again, you do waste, you know, you do spend a high draft pick on the guy, so you want to see what he's got, but I just don't agree with the way they did it. I mean, if you're going to spend that, roll with the guy. Roll with the guy. Danny Dimes went in there, roll with the guy. You know what I'm saying? Once Eli was out of there, roll with the guy. You know, Joe Burrow, you know what I'm saying? Roll with him. Roll with him.
See, they can roll with Joe Burrow, but they can't roll with Tua, man. Listen, I'm getting away from this. This is out of hand. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff that I want to try to jump into. We got 15 minutes right now. First and foremost, I want to see how you guys feel about John Harbaugh. because I think he's done. Like I don't even know what they're holding on to. Like he needs to go. Like not now, but like my family in the South would say, right now. Like right now. Like I don't know what is hanging him on to that job in Michigan, but it is horrible, right? And then since I have Aaron Terrence Simmons in the building, James Harden turned down the extension. He is making qualms of trying to get out the door. So is Westbrook. Like, more and more as days go by, it is getting worse for this Rockets team. At least those topics right there are dripping before I could try and, like, try to touch at least some of these picks that went on in the draft. I'll let you guys have at it. It is the cookout. I'll come to you first. Well, no, I don't watch college football, so I'll leave him alone. How do you feel about that, Eric, with Harbaugh hanging on to the job and he's losing game after game, and this is one of the worst starts in Michigan history?
So here's my take on this Harbaugh thing. And, again, I'm going to choose my words wisely because I'm a Penn State fan. I like him being in Ann Arbor as a Penn State fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is really nothing
here's
to deal
joke.
With the – Well, I mean, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's his alma mater. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. I speak to a ton of Michigan fans on a regular basis. They want him gone. And I honestly believe that he has one more year left on his current deal. You know what I'm saying? He has one more year left on his current deal. So if you're Harbaugh in Michigan, do you let this man right the ship on an unprecedented year? You know what I'm saying? They didn't have no training camps. They didn't have no off-season work. They didn't have none of that. You know what I'm saying? They came to the party late. You know what I'm saying? You don't have no ramp-up games against popcorn you to kind of get your feet wet. You just get thrown into the Big Ten fire. And so – You know, teams like, you know, teams in the Big Ten, teams in the Pac, you know, 12 or whatever, you know, that they may have, a legitimate break, you know what I'm saying, to not getting the ramp-up time that is needed for a season. So, you know, do they get rid of him? I want him to stay, but I can see why, you know, boosters and people want to get rid of him. At the end of the day, you know, what he's put on the field, you know, this season has been nothing short of unacceptable. And, again, as a Penn State fan, I want him right there. He needs to stay right there.
I know why you want him there, so they can keep pace with the Nittany Lions record, because both of you are horrible in the Big Ten. Both of you are horrible.
We're horrible.
So that's why he wants them there
right now,
so they can refer to something. Just to refer to something, you better go talk to Coach.
They're better than us. They're better than us because them Bama's got to win. We ain't got to win yet. So, you know, it is what it is.
Are you surprised? I mean, it's a Nittany Lions. Are you surprised?
I'm surprised. Don't get it twisted. I'm surprised. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We came into the season ranked 8th. You know what I'm saying? We have yet to have a losing season under Coach Franklin. You know what I'm saying? We've always had been able to field a decent offense and a halfway decent defense, and right now we're doing neither. I'm not running away from this. We are having the worst season in quite some time, and we have to own that. We put that on tape. We're not doing what we need to do, but at the end of the day, I love seeing Jim Harbaugh struggle just along with us. You know what I'm saying? The only difference is they got to win, we don't. I'm not even running away from that.
Okay. I'll let it be. Eric, I said Eric. I don't know if you between you and Barry, y'all stealing people food. This ain't the yard, okay? You guys relax. They so hungry in this building. Eric, your thoughts on Harbaugh?
I did hear his name. I'm the villain. I cut him off.
I know. You guys are mean. This is terrible. That's why people have a tough time with dealing with y'all.
I agree with everybody on this one. I wasn't a big fan of Harbaugh when he was in San Francisco. You know, they had a loaded team. Harbaugh's always been an overrated coach in my eyes. You know, when you're in the Super Bowl and you got Frank Gore and you got first and goal from the 2-yard line and don't even kick a field goal to tie, you throw 4 pass plays that are completely botched and lose the game when you hand off to Frank Gore in his prime and you win the game. So, you know, who's got it better than us? Everybody, you know. Harbaugh has consistently lost. Yeah, he's been on that glue over there in Auburn. You know, they consistently lose to top teams and their rivals. So, you know, yeah, you know, it's time for him to go. If they want to get back to, you know, competing and relevance, they got to let him go. Yeah, it's his alma mater, but, you know, they're holding on to something that's not there or was never there to begin with. So, you know, yeah, they're screaming the same thing now. Who's got it better than us? Everybody. So, you know, that's my take on it.
Nas, I know you're not a college football guy. You want to add anything to this before we get away from it?
Nah, it's the same as always, man. When the big alums want him gone, he'll be gone. Right now, they must be a little split. But until then, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, fair enough. Is everything all right?
Can I get a plate, please?
Oh, okay, Brad. Yes, you can eat. You can eat. Yes, go ahead. I'll let you go.
Thank you. Listen, Harbaugh is a good coach. But his problem is he's an asshole. He just wears out his welcome everywhere he goes. I mean, San Diego State to Stanford, San Francisco, and on back. Everywhere he goes, he just, you know, he's a good coach. He changes the culture, changes the program. And then after a couple of years, can we get rid of this? You know, because he's a pain in the behind, man. Like, so I'm not surprised. I'm just surprised he hasn't really turned it on in Michigan. You know, listen, you don't win against Ohio State there, you might as well kiss your career goodbye and vice versa. You can be the best coach at Ohio State. You don't win against Michigan, they don't care. They don't care a damn about you. So, I mean, he's a Michigan man. You know, he's got the alumni support. He's making a lot of money there. That's probably one reason. But, I mean, you know, eventually it's going to be an ugly divorce until he starts winning. And I think he'll probably get the chance to win there because he should have been gone a year or two ago. So who knows? But, I mean, TB, can we talk about Harden? Because you did throw that out there.
I did. That's why I was asking Sarah if he was okay. We can go right to the basketball. I wanted to try and
pitch
him at the NBA. We go right at it, please. I allow you to reintroduce yourself.
I mean, TP, I can't believe he turned down $103 million over 2 years. And he allegedly the reason why he said that,
adamant,
because I want to go to Brooklyn. You know, and listen, is the owner a Trump supporter? I don't care. If he is, I'm not surprised because he has money and he's white. I don't really care. Let's be frank about it. He's a Republican, so, and he's in Texas. What else do you want? Who cares? You know what I mean? But, you know, pause. Harden wants to win. He wants to play with his boy. Him and KD are like brothers. Can it work in Brooklyn? If that trade goes down, I would think so. Somebody has to sacrifice. I hope KD would be, because the way he plays ball is not going to be helpful for Kevin Garnett and Kyrie Irving. Dribble, dribble, dribble. Step back, dribble, 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 draw a foul, shoot a three. I can't stand that crap. So hopefully he changes his game. But if he goes to Brooklyn and they don't win the title in the first year, everybody needs to get fired. I mean, the ball boy, the guy selling beer in the stands, the doorman, everybody needs to get fired. So, I mean, you know, if I were the Rockets, I would hang on to these guys because they don't have to move them. They don't have to trade them. But, I mean, if you got these guys not happy and disgruntled, blow it up and start over.
Man, I'm going to say it like this, and I hate to sound like I'm some diva or some geek off the streets. There has been no player in NBA history that got $50 million a year. Sign me up. I don't care if he like Trump. I'm going home to my house, my car, whatever my family life is. This, that, and the third. He is adamant about leaving Houston. I want out. And Russ want out, too. So it's like, first off, and I hate to be mean, but I'm going to be mean. I'm not sending you where you want to go. I'm going to send you
exactly
to the Mexican I'm going to send you to the Mexican ball boys. Like you're playing down there. You're not going to Brooklyn. Like, you think I'm going to send you? What the hell? You must be crazy. You must be crazy. Look, and Russell Westbrook, they already playing with you. Like, you could be in Charlotte. You could be in Orlando. You look funny bouncing team to team. So it's looking real crazy for Russ. And for Harden to do it, too, like, why aren't you two trying to make this work? You guys moved your big man out of Houston so y'all could play small ball, and Capella was all right. I'm not going to say he was the best big, but, like, damn, he was all right. Y'all got Tyson Chandler just wasting away on the bench. They've made this team ready fit for you guys. I just don't get it. And if I were talking to Aaron Simmons,
they have Mike D'Antoni as their head coach. Come on, man. With a team like that, and you bring in D'Antoni, I mean, what a joke that was. I mean, what did they think was going to happen? D'Antoni can't handle teams like that. Look what happened with the Lakers when they had Steve Nash and Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant. The next year, Dwight Howard wanted out of there. It was D'Antoni can't handle these super teams. There's no reason for it. So, but it's pretty pitiful.
It's not even
pitiful.
The super teams, Eric. He's not a winning coach. He's not a championship level coach. Period.
Yeah.
But I don't think this Trump thing had anything to do with it. I think Daryl Morey, D'Antoni is gone, and Harden's looking around and seeing that okay, a rebuild is coming. So he's getting out before it goes bad. And as far as him turning down the money, the money doesn't matter because he's going to make it back anyway. He'll get 2 years for whatever he wants, wherever he goes, and then he'll do his final contract after that. So he's going to make the money regardless. The money has nothing to do with it. But I just don't see Brooklyn as a real destination. They don't have enough to give back. And if they did, then they wouldn't be the same team. Because then you'd be looking at him, Kyrie, and KD, which don't really fit. So I don't even know how that works. I see Harden going somewhere else, man, Philly or one of these other teams, but I just don't see how the Brooklyn thing works, money-wise, trade piece-wise, anything. It just doesn't make any sense.
Brooklyn has contracts to get rid of, but they're going to be, you know, contracts that they don't want to get rid of, like Dinwiddie and Kump and LeVert. They don't want to trade those guys, but if you want Harden, that's what you're going to have to give up. I agree with you, Nas. He should go to Philly.
And now, how do you play with Harden and Kyrie? We both need the ball in their hands.
Exactly.
In that retrospect, I think Harden can play off the ball and let Kyrie run the show. Harden's done it before in OKC, so I think he can work with it away from the ball.
Was pre-MVP Harden. He ain't that dude no more.
Yeah, but he's coming to a team with pieces. It's not like he's in Houston. He has to at least hear what's going on. He can't go in there and be like, I'm that dude. Like, yeah, KD's that dude, and Kyrie can get that shot off too, so he got to listen. He can't go over there doing that. He can't. He cannot do that.
So
but you know what? I think
Irving
is learning that
Jared
he
Allen,
can't be the guy.
Or somebody, tell me how this makes sense for Brooklyn.
Yeah, but you know what?
Okay,
like, I think Irving has learned that he can't be the guy. If he was humbled in Brooklyn, he learned he can't be the lead guy. And I don't think he wants to be the lead guy, to be honest with you. I don't think he wants to be the top dog. I think that's why he wanted to go where Kevin Durant was. And Kevin Durant wanted to go to Brooklyn, but he said, you got to bring Kyrie with him. Brooklyn didn't want anything to do with Kyrie Irving. So I think Kyrie Irving has got a little bit of that humble pie and knows, like, dude, you're Robin. And it's no shame in being Robin. Scottie Pippen's the greatest Robin of all time.
Okay, can I talk now?
I was trying to see how you felt, but you've been over there humble pie for real.
I
love you. They got quiet.
I've been over here sitting and listening to anybody talk. First and foremost, let me address this whole Harden Westbrook fiasco. To answer your initial question, Todd, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? I left the squad, the name on the front of the jersey, not the back. It's going to suck like heck when this season comes along and Russ, actually not so much Russ, but Harden is on another team.
Who, what's that person name? Wait, hold on. What person? Who's the first person you said?
Not today.
Wait, excuse me. No, I just need one answer, please. Who was the first
what
player?
Right.
Wait,
I,
who was the first?
I'm not doing it with you. I'm not doing it with you today. I'm not doing it with you today.
Excuse me. I just need an answer. Wait,
I'm not
I just need an answer.
Today. I'm not. I
need
don't
an answer.
Care what you need. I do not
excuse
care
me.
What you need.
Excuse
I do
me.
Not care. I do not care what you need.
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
This is your hero. This is who you want
to
you want to follow. This is the guy you want
to
praise as your hero. This guy's a bully.
Excuse me. I didn't hear you. I want you to reiterate yourself. Tell me again what you said.
Then go back and listen to it. Game right now. I don't play with me. You sit over there chucking back and shut your face and let me talk. So back to what I'm saying. Before I got interrupted by this cornball over here. It's going to literally suck with Harden on another team. But at the end of the day, if he does not want to play in Houston, you know what? It's unfortunate. Let's move him for the best package we could possibly get. Now, with that being said, I am not trading him to wherever the heck he would go. Like somebody said originally, you want to go to Brooklyn? I'm sending you to Orlando. You want to go to
Send him to the Knicks.
Go to Washington. I don't care. We are not going to accommodate bad behavior.
Don't bring my team in.
We're not
bring my team in.
I just wanted to, you know, get Aaron's side of things on that. That was just lovely, just to hear him not answer me. This is good. This is good stuff for us today. I'm having a beautiful day here at the cookout that I have him befuddled. He had the answer to the Tua stuff, and now the Harden, and he even said Russ and Westbrook all in a dialogue. This is beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, what he said was 100% correct.
I just wanted to hear him cry. In the words of Barry the Villain Jordan to Aaron Simmons.
That's fucked up. That's so messed up.
What the funny thing, like he's over there laughing as if like I'm bothered by that though. That's the funny thing, like
I have to. Because you do all.
I mean,
nobody's
crying because Paul got traded out of Oklahoma City.
Hold on. He's been all this hooting and hollering. Listen, hold on. Y'all don't understand what I go through with this dude on a week by week, day by day, month by month basis. When something goes right for me, I don't even bother serious, right? I let him breathe. I don't even come for him. If he's got the edge on me, he's coming for me. And then y'all see what I do to him, and then y'all feel sympathetic for him. Y'all don't know what I go through with him. Okay.
You're supposed to be a hero.
Hold on. I didn't cut you off. Please respect the gangster.
I don't have to.
You know
I'm cutting
saying?
You off. You're supposed to be a hero. You're supposed to be the biggest
you're
person.
Not,
you're a hero, right?
Who,
not a hero. I'm the hero.
Who are you talking to? What? Who are you talking to like that? Boy, I know he's not talking to me like that. Listen, the fact of the matter is, I get it from him all the time, and this is the one time that I get to get him back, and just to watch him backpedal back into the where the Rockets should be is back in the cellar somewhere. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. We do have the NBA draft going on. I did want to get everybody's picks on the tomorrow night's game, the Arizona Cardinals versus the Seattle Seahawks, in which I feel like that's going to be a knock them out, drag them out, Russell Wilson versus Russell Wilson 2.0, even though Kyler Murray made his own name for himself. It's a lot of stuff to get into, but I know we got to get out of here as best as possible. I want to hear how you guys feel about the first couple of picks. LaMelo Ball going to Charlotte. You got a lot of big names. Anthony Edwards went to Minnesota. Was that the move to make? Wiseman being a center with Golden State, and especially we opened up the show talking about Clay's injury. Barry was talking about Obi Toppin, who I think is probably the steal out of the draft. Can he hold the Knicks up? Because he's probably going to be the face of that organization at this point in time. I want to hear how you guys feel about what's going on in the draft so far, and we'll close out on that. Nas, I'll start with you first. I haven't heard from you. Your thoughts on this draft right now, and also a pick for the tomorrow's game. Is it out of the Birds? Is it the Cardinals or the Seahawks?
Yeah, well, as far as that shootout game tomorrow, that's just going to be like arena football, man. It's going to be a high score, running up and down the field, defense not doing much. But the draft, man, I mean, we'll see. I think this draft was more about what moves were made before the draft started and what moves are going to be made next week as far as trades and everything else everybody's doing. I don't really see this as a rookie class that's going to walk in and really be, you know, huge dominant factors. We'll kind of see how this plays out. I don't look at this as a great class. But, you know, some teams got interesting. I like LaMelo at 3 in Charlotte. I like Anthony Edwards going to Minnesota. He should be able to just, you know, just score and that's it and kind of develop. But, you know, this ain't 96. This ain't 03. This ain't no draft class like that. No real training camp. So I think we're going to see these guys kind of be behind the curve and slowly develop and kind of contribute.
Okay, and do you have a winner in the game tomorrow, Seahawks or the Cardinals?
It's a pick 'em, man. I guess I'll take Arizona.
Ooh, and he went, okay, and Seattle, so he went underdog. Okay, I'll come to you next. Eric, your thoughts on the game tomorrow between your division rivals out of both of them, Cardinals and Seahawks, and your thoughts on the draft this far?
Yeah, I like the top three picks as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing how LaMelo Ball does in Charlotte. You know, I was a critic of him just because how his dad, you know, what he did with those brothers. But I think LaMelo is going to be the best Ball brother when it's all said and done. So I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring to the table in the NBA. So that's what I'm looking for there. And Arizona over the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks played poorly against a very inconsistent Ram team. So I look for Kyler Murray to light up the score and the Arizona Cardinals to win tomorrow.
Hey, but they beating up on Russ. This is getting out of hand. Okay, Mr. Simmons.
Well, look what Russ did. I mean, he laid an egg against the Rams. He should have easily beat the Rams. You know what I mean? So that just left a bad taste in my mouth. They cost me on the five-team parlay. The only team that cost me that, you know, the Seahawks should easily won. So you know, I have a bad taste in my mouth, but I didn't like what I saw against their performance. So the Cardinals are playing really good offensive football right now, and, yeah, they're going to win tomorrow night.
Okay, fair enough. Mr. Simmons, your thoughts on the draft this far? Who do you have winning the game tomorrow, Russell Wilson or 2.0?
You know what? This draft is interesting, kind of how it's laying out. You know, obviously the first three picks, you know, need no endorsement from me. I do believe that LaMelo Ball is really going to benefit from being in Charlotte. You know, Jordan's going to be there, and, you know, we'll see what happens if she's able to pass anything down about work ethic or anything like that to this guy. But at the end of the day, man, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, with the Knicks pick and OB, man, you know, we'll see what happens. I do like with the Utah Jazz there picking up Devin Vassell from Florida State. So, I mean, there are some decent names. I mean, obviously it's not 96, it's not 03, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, man, it's kind of funny. Ty's mentioned something about the Rockets being at the bottom where they belong. Unfortunately, we really didn't talk about OKC or the Sonics, if you will. With that being said, I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow. This is two losses back-to-back for them. And they haven't looked good in either loss. They got beat pretty handily at the hand of the Buffalo Bills 2 weeks ago, and then last week the Rams. It's another, you know, prime-time game, and I do believe that Seattle will get some reinforcements back. You know, I think Carlos Hyde is reactivated. Chris Carson, I believe, is going to go tomorrow. DK Metcalf and Lockett, you know, endorsement from us. You know, and let's keep it a buck with you. You know, if you the Hail Mary out of the equation from last week, Arizona loses that ball game, and this is a whole new conversation. So before we start talking about how decent the Arizona Cardinals are and how, you know, they gonna run up and down the score and be this explosive offense in the third, you needed a hope and a prayer and a couple of Hail Marys to pull out that game against the Buffalo Bills a week ago. So we'll see what happens with the give me Seattle in that game tomorrow, man. God bless. We'll catch you guys later.
Okay, definitely. And Barry, your thoughts on the game tomorrow, Cardinals, Seahawks, and your thoughts on the draft up until this point?
You know, every time you see a game that, you know, you think it's supposed to be high scoring, you always get a defensive battle, so I wouldn't be surprised there, but I think Seattle will probably take the game. The draft, it's not a deep draft. It's a deep draft. It's just not a star-heavy draft. There's a lot of good players in this draft. If you have a need, you can probably find a good player to fill it. The top three kind of went the way I thought it would go. I didn't think Ball would go to the Timberwolves. I thought, you know, out of those teams, the Timberwolves or the Warriors could trade out of that pick. They winded up keeping the pick, and everybody went where they were supposed to go. I think, you know, Edwards went number one. Wiseman should have gone to Golden State if they didn't trade out of the pick, and Ball went to Charlotte at number three. I think that your boy Obi falling to the Knicks at eight, I think, you know, you had to pick him because he's so athletic. He's so talented, New York kid. I thought he would go five to Cleveland. They didn't. I think Patrick Williams went higher than everybody thought he would go. But he had a good some good workouts, and they were impressed by him. He's a big guy that can get bigger. So when Obi falls to the Knicks at eight, even though they have a need at point guard that they should have got Halliburton, if Obi's there, you got to take him. But now it's the same thing. They're looking for a point guard. Hopefully they can, you know, do something. Make a trade or something like that. They did trade earlier today to get the 23rd pick, so we'll see how that goes unless I missed it. But, you know, listen, Sports City, love it. Love cooking it up with you guys. It's always fun. TP, don't ever forget, you can mute the villain, but I'm always here. I'm here, all right? You can't get rid of me. I'm here.
See, and we graduated together, and there was a slogan that came out, and you know this too well. Know your role and shut your mouth, okay? That's what you do. You know your role and you shut your mouth, okay? You're not going to be trying to out-talk me or do what you wanted to do. I'm not going to flip out or anything. All I want to know is who's coming with me. You know, so with that being
definitely
said, I am going to go. Listen, slow down. You keep doing it. Every time I get ready to do my clothes, everybody want to talk some more. Slow down, man. Slow down. You already got your 15 seconds of fame. My time, okay? Now, I'm going to go with the heavy side of this. I'm going with the Seahawks as well. I can't see Russell Wilson losing three games in a row after making a statement at the beginning of the season saying that he's the best quarterback in the league, and he was doing it. And now the Seahawks fell straight off a cliff, including Russ. Including Russ, I'm not just picking on the defense. Him too, with the offense, with the turnovers, everything that he's in cahoots with everything going on. I can't see it going down with him losing that many games straight. I love Kyler Murray. I think he's an awesome quarterback. I think his completion rate could go up higher. DeAndre Hopkins special spot in my heart, especially with the story that he had. But I really feel like Seattle has to win this game. 12th man, well, there was nobody in the stands, but I feel like that home aura should give them the lift. Now, with this draft, there's a couple of interesting log jams that I'm concerned about, especially in Orlando. They have guard log jam. Then you also have a situation where LaMelo, is that his team now? Will he be the face of the Hornets right now? That's something that I'm concerned about right now to quickly get that one out. There was another log jam that I was looking at. And and the shooting guard situation in Philadelphia with them just now selecting Tyrese Maxey, bringing in Danny Green, and a lot of people saying that Danny Green is basically done. But they're having their logjam right now. I want to see how they get this to work, especially with a guy like Doc Rivers' new situation, having to work with these interesting pieces. Can he get Philly over the hump to be at least in the Eastern Conference Final? That is something to see. So those logjams are sitting there. And, oh, yes, I am at the edge of my seat waiting to see what the Thunder do. But right now, the Knicks are the selection. So you already know what time it is for City, man. We about to close up shop here at the Cookout. I already know what time it is, my doggone self. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
When we talking about real shit or we talking about rhyme? You talking about millions or you talking about mine? What we talking about? Cause I ain't got time for what people be talking about all the time. What we talking about, fiction or we talking about facts? You talking about fiction, hold up, pardon my back. I'm talking about life, and all I hear is, oh yeah, keep talking about.
I ain't talking about profit, I'm talking about pain. Talking about despair, I'm talking about shame. Talking about gossip, I ain't talking about game. I ain't talking about Jimmy, I ain't talking about fame. I'm talking about real shit, them people playing. What is you talking about? I don't know what y'all saying. People keep talking about hoes, take it back. I'm doing better than before, why would I do that? Ain't nothing cool about carrying a scrap out, wearing your mom, comparing your best cat. Talking about revenge while you're carrying his casket. All teary eyed, about to take it to a mattress. Talking about music, I ain't talking about rap. Talking about who's hot, I ain't talking about that. The conversation has changed, but yap about that. I don't run rap no more, I run the map.
See what y'all talking about.